Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who founded the Jesuits, really devoted his life teaching people to pray, and he recounted it in numerous books, and he's passed that patrimony down to us. And Saint Ignatius says that every time, every period of prayer that you're going to enter into, that for the length of an Our Father, before you begin to pray, for the length of an Our Father, you are to place yourself in God's holy presence. Not that you say an Our Father, but for the length of an Our Father, you recall that you are in God's holy presence, that you're not alone, that God is with you in the midst of you. And so today, for the length of an Our Father, I'm going to have you recall that you are in God's holy presence. And if it's helpful, I want you to close your eyes and realize that we are in God's holy presence. Where that prayer should leave us, if it's not just complete awkward silence, is with some sort of sense as we begin our time of prayer, our period of prayer, where that prayer should leave us is with some sense of the supernatural. Not just that God is holy or that God is sacred, but there's a sense of the supernatural, that there's something bigger than myself. That's what St. Ignatius is getting at. Now just for a moment, you're going to remember that you're in God's holy presence, that the God who made the sun and the stars draws close to you. A sense of the supernatural, to realize that there's more to life than what I can see around me. That there's more to life than the things that I'm going through or the things that I'm experiencing. Because a lot of times I want to sit down and pray. I want to tell the Lord all the things that are happening in my life. And I just sort of collapse on myself. But as soon as I sit in his presence, things begin to open up in me so that I can actually speak to the one who sees, who knows, who cares. That sense of the supernatural reveals to the human heart that God is real, that God is present, and that he's active in our life. That he is real, that he is present, and that he's active. He's on the move in our life. There's a huge temptation. I hear it a lot with the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. Every year I feel like somebody else says it to me. There's a huge temptation to say that the miracle of the loaves and the fish isn't that God, that Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread. That the real miracle was that everybody shared. That they just kept dividing and dividing and dividing, and that everybody shared and everybody had enough. That is plainly false. That is not what the story says. There's a boy there with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus takes them. He gives thanks. He gives thanks to God for them. And then he distributes them to 5,000 men. And at the end he says, gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted. And they gathered 12 wicker baskets full. Now unless those wicker baskets are the size of a thimble, there is more at the end than what they began with. The miracle isn't that they shared. The miracle is truly what the scriptures tell us, that Jesus multiplied this food, that he took the little fragments that they began with and multiplied them so that there was some in abundance, more bread, more fish to be shared, that everyone ate not just to their heart's content, but to their stomach's content. The miracle isn't that they shared. The miracle is that Jesus, God, multiplied the little that they had. And each person there, watching what had been done, had some sense of the supernatural. There's something bigger than what can be seen here. There's something happening above nature, that God has entered into our midst, that the prophecies are true, that this person is greater than Elisha, who multiplied bread. And that spirit, that supernatural sense, puts to flight a hopelessness that you and I so often can experience in our lives. This breaking open into the knowledge that God is real, that he's present, and that he's active. The hopelessness that says, Jesus, 200 days' wages wouldn't be enough to feed even a few of these people. The hopelessness that says, there's a little boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many? The hopelessness that says, things will never get better. There's no point to trying. Why keep going? And nothing will change. That it can only get worse from here. That burden, that yoke that you and I carry. And yet God is trying to draw close to every human heart in this break in so that we realize he is real, he is active, and he can do something about it. So often we think that Jesus doesn't care or Jesus doesn't see, and yet all he needs from us is the fragments. All he needs from us is the little bit so that he can multiply. I fall into the temptation to think that if I offer my life to Jesus, he's just going to take away, take away, take away. He's going to divide and break apart and break apart and break apart, and I'll have less. But when we offer to Jesus the little that we have, it's clear that he desires to multiply, that he desires to bring new life to overflowing. Not that we share and everything gets better, we become better people, but that God wants to break into our lives and multiply the little that we have because we are so poor. And this is a really important point. That's our reason to hope. We as a Christian people don't have hope because of what we can do or what we can accomplish. We have hope because of what God can do and what God can accomplish. It's not about us sharing. It's about God breaking into our lives and multiplying. This little boy, every time we read this story, this little boy stands out to me. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And presumably he has a plan for those things. He's not just carrying them to look good. Like, mom asked me to go get food, so I went to the market, and now I'm on my way. And as he's on his way with the plan for the food that he has, he comes across the apostles who are bold enough to say, hey, kid, could we use, I know it's not much, but there's a lot of people here for us to feed. And you got to think, he's looking at Andrew thinking, are you serious? There's 5,000 people here, and I have enough for a family of 6. And yet, and I don't know why, he surrenders this to Jesus. This is all I have, Lord. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But if the master requests it, I'll surrender it to you. It doesn't make sense in my mind either, but if I surrender this to you, I know that you can take it and multiply it, because we've known that you've done it before. And so this boy surrenders the little bit that he had, even though he knew in our world it's not enough. And yet God breaks in because he's real, he's present, and he's active in our lives. And the question is, am I willing to offer the fragments of my life, the little that I have, back to God? The things that hurt, the things that aren't finished, the things that are painful in my life, the relationships, the brokenness, am I willing to offer that back to God? My sins, my temptations, the little ways that I've been unfaithful so many times, and yet I have a desire to begin again. Am I willing to offer Jesus the fragments of my life so that he can multiply it? You know, we come to Mass, and we offer Jesus so little. It's like a little wafer of a host, maybe 2 calories. It's basically nothing. And then we offer him a little bit of wine. It's not even good wine. That wine comes out of a bag, folks. You know that? It's not even good. We offer Jesus a little unleavened bread and bagged wine. And he gives us, and in return, his body and his blood. How can he do so much with so little if he's just one of us? You and I get to have an encounter with the supernatural, that our world breaks open into something vertical, and we're called to ascend higher. We're called to strive for more, not by what we can accomplish by sharing or by distributing, but by allowing the God of the universe to come so close, and he asks for so little. Am I willing to surrender the fragments of my life to offer the little that I have for Jesus to multiply?